Ezekiel 34, verses 25 to 31, page 866. I will make a covenant of peace with them and rid the land of wild beasts, so that they may live in the desert and sleep in the forests in safety. I will bless them and the places surrounding my hill. I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessing. The trees of the field will yield their fruit, and the ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in their land. They will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who enslaved them. They will no longer be plundered by the nations, nor will wild animals devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will make them afraid. I will provide for them a land renowned for its crops, and they will no longer be victims of famine in the land or bear the scorn of the nations. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture are people, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. Amen.
Thank you. No problem. Thank you. Slowly. It's just awkward on the stair. Yeah. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you, John, for bringing the reading today. Today, we are going to see about the charges Ezekiel raises on both the past and present monarchs of Israel who had not been good shepherds of the God's flock, as God himself as being a good shepherd to his people. This charge is quite particular, because God had already put in place a particular leadership paradigm to be operative for the people to follow after the time of Moses. Although initially the paradigm, the leadership strategy was intended to function based on the main set of grid lines of leadership, but later some of the theological elements were also added to that by the historians. And hence, the Israelite history presents Moses as one of its highest human standard leaders, who conceptualizes the prophet without parallel icon. And after Moses, there have been great leaders they were following in the shadow of Moses. And the leaders such as we all know, Joshua, and then Samuel, David, Solomon, Hezekiah, Josiah, and the list goes on. But after them, the leaders, those who are following them, have had to stand on the doctrines or the instructions of Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 15 to 20. And these instructions have then become the legalized standards or the measurements to measure the leadership qualities. It says, the king who has been elected as a leader of the nation, he must be from among your fellow Israelites. That was one of the command from God himself. So no other than Israelites, and any pagan culture people cannot become your king. They should know about God, they should know about their culture, tradition, politics, and all those values around. And then God was saying, he must not acquire great numbers of horses. So it means that his mind, his heart, soul, everything will be fixed on materialistic possession rather than on the people. So God was very much sure about that. And he must not take many wives. So it is like a moral standard. He is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law. So the law, the scroll, the Pentateuch, one of the book, Deuteronomy, need to be written as a scroll, and the king has to written by himself. And he has to read it all the days of his life so that he may learn to rever, follow and obey these decrees. So the instructions need to be meditated and need to be followed, obeyed by the king himself for setting an example for the people have been led by him. Finally, he is saying, and he should not consider himself better than his fellow Israelites. There should not be any pride element. And he has asked the king, the leaders of Israel, to equate himself to the people. There is oneness, there is unity among everyone. Then the king and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom in Israel. This was the instructions given to the leaders, and they were following it after the time of Moses himself. Marking 90th birthday of the Queen Elizabeth II, the British government has published a pound coin with the Queen's head being stamped there. And can you see something else following the name? Can you read it? D, G, Reg, F, D. It is an Italian phrase. Can anyone know the expansion of that? I hope you all know that. D stands for Dei Gratia Regina Fidei Defensor. I don't know how my accent, Italian accent is. But this is in Italian. What does it mean? By the grace of God, Queen, Defender of the Faith. The faith of which the Queen is the defender is Christianity. And you can see the Deuteronomy 17th verse, the monarch and her descendants have ruled for a long time. So God should be kept in the first and foremost place for ruling the nation. Shepherd. Shepherd is a word normally used by Christians in the church atmosphere. But in general, the meaning explains anyone who leads, anyone who cares, who provides, who protects anyone else or a group of people. A leader of the nation is a shepherd to the nation. A pastor is a shepherd to the church. A deacon is a shepherd to the set of a body. And the husband is a shepherd to the wife. And the parents are the shepherd to the children. And the teacher is a shepherd to the students. And an employee is a shepherd to the employers. So anyone who leads anyone in any way is called as shepherding leadership. This book, this chapter 24, we are going to meditate three things. How not a shepherd should be. How a shepherd should be. How the flock should be. These three concepts we are going to meditate, and this will be based on three points: care, provision, and protection. So we can see all this care, provision, and protection coming under how not a shepherd should be, how a good shepherd should be, and how the flock should be. Ezekiel chapter 34 verse 2 it says, "Woe to you shepherds of Israel who only take care of yourselves." There is a selfish motive in there. And the verse after which it follows, "You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock." Ezekiel has used this shepherd as a metaphor for explaining the Israel leadership. And he has painted or depicted beautifully here that the leadership was self-centered, careless, cruel, abusive, and negative leadership. In Christendom, we are all called to be responsible for the people around us. And we need to look after each other. Having said that, our ashes is doing a fantastic job. We are all good in taking care of not only brothers and sisters within the church, but also the new visitors to the church. I was talking with one of my pastoral tutor in Spurgeon. He was working as a minister in the Bromley Church in Kent. He resigned his job in August this 2017 because he has taken the vice principal position in Spurgeon and he has involved himself in a mission in Calais Jungle. So too many responsibilities, so he came out of that ministerial position. Now he is looking around for some churches to go in Peckham, where he has moved now. He said, for the past 1 month, he has gone to 3 churches. And in all these 3 churches altogether, only 3 people have come to him and talked to him during the coffee time. I said to him, "You should come to Ashurst." Shepherding is making the flock or the sheep or the people to give a sense of belonging. They are belonging to us. There was no care in the Israelite leadership. Where it was taking, "You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured." Whatever comfort we have received from the Lord, we are commanded or called to share that comfort to the people, those who are in need. And it is perfectly reflecting the Good Samaritan story. We all know the story. The Samaritan, he was seeing a traveler lying on the road. He was not going there just to go and look at the person. "Oh my dear, you have fallen down and someone has robbed you and you are injured too much. Can I do a prayer for you?" And did he say that, "Yes, in the Lord's name you will be healed"? And was he passed by just after doing a prayer? That was not Jesus called a good Samaritan should be. He provided, he poured out everything he had in his hand. Not only with compassion, he went close to the traveler, but whatever he had in his hand, all this wine and olive oil, he just poured out. There must be nothing left out for the rest of his travel. He didn't mind about that. And when you read the last verse, it says, he was telling to the innkeeper, "Spend all the money I have given. Tomorrow, when I come back, please ask me if you have spent more, I will give them too." So there must not have been any money left out for him to the rest of the travel. He didn't mind about that. He didn't mind about the time he has spent with the traveler. By the time he would have reached the destiny, he provided everything. God is asking us to be a provider. He has been provided to us and he is asking us to follow the same. There was no provision given in the Israelite kingdom during that time. There was no protection also. This was the third charge Ezekiel raises. "You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally." So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for the wild animals. Apostle Paul says here to the Corinthian people, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. We were doing exactly the same thing in the children focus part today. We received God's love. We have enjoyed it, and God has asked us to show the same love and kindness and protection to the people, not only protecting the people, and it protects the souls from being lost. The leadership in Israelite, they did not protect the people. Rather, they were acting so brutally. So the people were bruised and they were all scattered. The kingship or the leadership did not take any effort to go and seek for the lost sheep. And now the curse has been fallen on the heads of the leadership. How a shepherd should be. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 6 to 12. Can you please take it in your Bible or the church Bible provider? Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 6 to 12. It is a simple exercise. It is in page number 865. I would like you to pick up how many times God has mentioned either my flock or my sheep in these six verses. Let us see who is quick in reading and counting. Any number? Pardon? Seven times. In six verses, he has given seven times. My flock, my sheep. Jesus cares for the people. He came down to this earth to care for us. He came, he was looking for the lost sinners. He was looking for the lost souls. If you read the life Jesus lived on this earth, most of his time he was spending with the sinners and the lost souls. He associated himself with the tax collectors and the women caught in adultery. And the list goes on. And on one occasion, even when Pharisees went and asked Jesus, his reply was, only the sick needs a doctor, not the healthy one. He cares for us. And he has explained that, this is my flock, this is my sheep. And he has mentioned, emphasized again in the parable of the lost sheep. Would anyone go to his home, the shepherd will go to his home after losing a sheep on the open country field? And in the verses, he says, he himself will go and find the flock. And he says that the shepherd, if he has possessed 100 flocks, 100 sheep, and if he has lost one, he will go behind the lost sheep. And he will search for it and he will find for it until he find the lost one. And once he found the lost sheep, he will put that back in his shoulder with joyfully he will come back home. That is the care Jesus was having with us. He was having that soul lost should be saved. And he provided that. Psalm 23 runs parallel with this Ezekiel chapter 34, especially between the verses 11 to 16. And he says here, I myself will go and search for my sheep and look after them. God was asking those instructions, given those instructions to the leadership to look after the flock. They failed in that. Now God is saying, I'm not going to depend on you. I'm not going to appoint anyone to go and find my flock. I myself will go. And he says that not only going, searching and caring for the sheep, and he says, I will look after them. I will look after them the continuous entire days of their life on this earth. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. He says, I will go and pasture them. I will tend my sheep. I will make them to lie down. I'm not going to depend on you leaders. You have failed that. Here, this is my mission. I will be the true shepherd. I am the true shepherd, Jesus said in the New Testament. He has provided us, not only cared for us, green pastures, still waters. What more we need when he and his presence is with us? Ezekiel again says, God is saying here through him, I will rescue them from their enemies. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. This is the protection God wants to give to his people. If you remember reading John chapter 10, God himself, Jesus himself portraying like he is a gatekeeper. In the Israelite period, there won't be any gate for the sheep if it has been put inside the pen. The shepherd himself will come and lie down across the gate. He himself will be the gate. For any thief or any robber to enter into the pen, he has to go across this shepherd, this gatekeeper. So no one can go into the pen without the knowledge of the gatekeeper. So he says here, I am the gatekeeper. And the sheep will listen to my voice. Have you been to any farmland recently, or have you had any experience? The shepherds will use some strange noise to call the sheep. Is anyone good in making that noise? I heard that noise. What? So they use a separate voice to call the sheep. This is nothing but the sheep to understand what he is talking. So the shepherd will talk in the contextual basis of the sheep. So everything the sheep should understand. So he goes beyond his sovereignty or his supremacy, and he will go and make the sheep to understand what he is saying. God loves us. He wants us to understand what his love means. So he sent his son. Go and live among the people. Let the people see you as the moral standard and let them follow you. It was easy to understand when we correlate our life with Jesus who lived on this earth as a human. And he says here, he calls his own sheep by name. We are all known to God. He knows our names individually. He calls us by our name. When you read my flock, my sheep, my flock, just put your name there when you go back and read. God calls everyone. And I used to wonder, the shepherd, he says here, when he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him. I was thinking, will not be the other way around helpful for the sheep or protecting for the sheep? If the shepherd goes behind the sheep and asking the sheep to move further. But it was the other way around. The shepherd is going at the front and the sheep are following him. And a book was explaining, the shepherd who marches before the sheep, he will look after for any deep holes, any holes or pits in the road. So he will alert the sheep who is coming behind. And he will look for any poisonous plants on the side. He does not want the sheep to eat that. So he makes sure that the sheep following him will not eat that. What a kind of protection. That is the same protection Jesus has assured us. I am going before you. My presence go before you. I call you by name. You will be my sheep. I am your shepherd. I will protect you for all the known and unknown danger. Thanks be to God. How the flock should be. The verse, it says between 20 and 21, see, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you show with the flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away. The fat sheep is nothing but who have already received Jesus as their Savior and enriched with his abundance blessings, care, provision, and protection. The lean sheep are the one who has not come into the knowledge of Christ like others. I met a friend who was my work colleague 2 years before. I asked him, he is now working in a chemical company, BASF in Germany. I was asking him, how are you? The next 25 minutes, he was explaining about his company, what the company is producing, and what are all the international standards, how they are competing, where they are in the stock market, and the products, how it is going to be beneficial. All those things for 25 minutes. Hang on a minute. I just want to know how you are. You know what? He has been passionate about what he is doing. He is filled with the passion about his job. If we are filled with the Christ love, is it not bubbling inside us to go and share to the people, see, I received the love of Christ. I am here. Come and follow Christ. Sometimes, knowingly or unknowingly, we might become the reason for the people to be driven away from the church itself. There is a main complaint going around in the secular world saying that, yes, I have been to the church before, but in the church, so and so didn't behave properly, they were giving problems. After that, I stopped going to any church. Have you heard those complaints? It is there. Now the mission is ours. Have we lost any sheep like that from our church? Some of you must be here for a long time. If the sheep has gone and found a church and settled, it is fine. If the sheep has not gone to any church and driven away for some reason, it is our mission. And I would encourage you to talk either to Richard or myself, to go and find and seek the flock. We should be the people of responsive. Whatever we heard, we should be in action. Shall we pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us when we are in this mission? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for instructions how a shepherd should be, how not a shepherd should be, how the flock should be. And you are our true shepherd, and we follow you, Lord. And you have given us this shepherd kind of leadership, taking responsibility of the people around us. Help us, Lord, in doing things by the guidance of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.